Who with it now? Back in your face, back in your ears, prideofdetroit.com, the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. It's for your ears and it's good for you. Unlike what is happening to our friend Ryan Matthews, back is the motherfucking rock guy, at Ryan_POD, whose ears are not doing well for him.
We're gonna make do.
You have.
I don't miss any of these things.
What do you have exactly?
I have a quote-unquote flaming ear infection.
Okay, that's enough that we need. I'm Chris Lemieux, your host at Adequate Host is my new Twitter handle. We finally unveiled it.
I'm so happy.
I am too.
I like it. It is sufficiently ironic enough for me. So
it's better than Detroit Southern. Way better than Malkovich Plan.
That man right there who was always wrong about everything.
Shut your face.
Finally rejoining us after nearly a whole season lost abroad trying to acquire education is Alex Reno at Alex_Reno.
I missed you guys so much.
You're just waiting until the fan base was at its lowest for him to rejoin the podcast.
Yeah, seriously. It's like a demon of negativity.
That's just how like I made my game ball debut on the worst game of the season.
And you failed to put in a poll.
I put that poll in there.
No, you
just got deleted.
And then finally, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online, fearless leader. We are prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Catch this show on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever they've given away podcasts for free. I know we're upbeat here to start the show. We're having fun. Christmas is over. Hanukkah is... What night is this, Jeremy?
Oh, boy. Putting me on the spot.
Yeah. Four. Come on.
Four. It's going to be the fourth. Tuesday night, I hope. No one check my math.
It is the fourth night of Hanukkah. Boxing Day has come and gone. What else am I missing here?
Kwanzaa?
I don't know when Kwanzaa is celebrated.
Maybe Boxing Day? I don't know.
I already said that.
No, I think it might be on the same day. I don't know. Whatever. Keep going.
We're not 3 minutes into this. And you are just... Well, either way, Monday night was not fun. It wasn't. I'm sorry. It wasn't fun.
Well, let's be clear. It was fun for about a half.
Very fun for a half.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't get to watch a lot of this game, so a lot of y'all are going to have to help me through this. So let's key it up right here. We're coming in here after a Lions loss now. It's only the second in a row. But
yeah, it feels like more, though, right?
It absolutely does. Like, I was on the radio today to, like, talk about it, and, like, the guy characterized it as, like, a three-game losing streak to end the season if you don't beat the Packers. I'm like... That doesn't sound that bad, but...
it'll be a weird bookends to the season, right? Because this team started 1-3, and now they could potentially finish 1-3.
On the last four, yeah. But let's talk about this. So, Lions go into Dallas. We all know, I think from the start, except for my stupid predictions, that the Cowboys are probably going to roll over the Detroit Lions, unless the Cowboys deign to sit starters. We all knew that, right?
We knew it was an uphill battle for the Lions.
I'm just saying, we all kind of knew there was a loss. We had time to gird ourselves for a loss, and yet people are still mad.
I don't think there is a lot of reason for any optimism going into this game, especially once they announced that Slay was out and Swanson was going to be out again, and no Riddick. It was kind of hard envisioning a scenario in which the Lions would go knock off the number one seed in the NFC on their home turf.
I mean, and yet, I think why people are mad, though, is because of that first half, right? The first
half teased people
to think that they could do this.
Well, and I was going to dig down do some research, because I don't remember ever seeing something like this happen, where the Lions scored a touchdown on their first three possessions, didn't score the rest of the way. I don't understand how that happens. That's got to be extremely, extremely rare for anyone to pull that up.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man, I mean, again, I didn't watch too much of this, so I'm just kind of looking at the score sheet, but... I mean, a rushing touchdown is pretty rare to begin with for the Lions.
Yeah, they only had five coming into the game, and they snatched three in the first half.
And nobody coming into this game had more than one. So Eric Ebron, Matthew Stafford, Theo Riddick, these were all guys that were tied with the season lead.
The Cowboys were, in yardage, the best run defense team in the NFL.
Am I taking this L on Zach Zenner, or is it only one game?
I would say it's more of a fluke than promise.
This is an outlier. It's an anomaly.
I mean, there are some things that Zach Zenner does deserve credit for. He's a hard guy to bring down. He usually breaks through the first arm tackle that comes his way, but I've got some issues with the way he sees the field. But I mean, let's give credit where credit's due. This was an amazing game for him. He had, you know, that cutback touchdown was really, really nice. You know, he ended up averaging like 6-7 yards a carry. And even though yardage is kind of a bad way to measure a run defense, they were still ranked 6th in DVOA in run defense. So this was no joke of a defense.
You know where Zenner won biggest last night? PFT commenter.
I bet he did. He is a PFT commenter kind of player. This was by far, without a shadow of a doubt, like his best performance that he's ever had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The question is, is this the best performance he'll ever have?
Yes.
No. Next week
I would say
have
yes, because I mean he might not see the field a whole lot the rest of his career.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah. What happened with Dwayne Washington? I heard like. He's the rumors are that he's getting benched because he went rogue last week.
Isn't he always going rogue? Like, he's never following his blockers.
Is rogue going to be the word that describes the 2016 season? Everyone in the Lions team was going rogue. Offensive linemen, running backs.
Just everyone except for the Packers in the NFC North were going rogue.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the use of Dwayne Washington in the second half, because I think that's what is puzzling almost every Lions fan this morning, is what happened to Zach Zenner. He got two carries in the second half after having the best half of his career. What happened there? Do any of you guys have a theory as to why Dwayne Washington suddenly became the feature back?
It doesn't make much sense.
His self-imposed suspension for going rogue ended, maybe?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Cooter even knows what he's doing sometimes.
Maybe Zach Zenner didn't wear a tie during halftime?
The play calling's been weird lately, and to be honest, I think anyone talking about grabbing Cooter as a head coach, you're going to have to take a pretty hard look at the play calling.
grabbing Cooter as a head coach? Okay. Let's talk about if you want to talk about play calling, let's talk about pace of play. What was up with the hurry up offense that we haven't seen from the Lions since early in the preseason? Like, they were going up tempo, no huddle.
Yeah, that
was
interesting.
Nice to finally see it back. It was.
They kind of turned it on and off, and I guess they knew. Unlike me, because I thought this team had grown comfortable, you know, doing that slow pace offense where they're draining a lot of clock. They're making them really earn yards on defense. Small possession games. Apparently, they knew they were in for a shutout on Monday night, and that's absolutely what they were in for. And it seemed to work in that first half. They were up 21-14, even had a chance to push that to two possessions late in the second quarter. But
Then Dez Bryant.
Then they ran out of tricks on offense, and yeah, Dez Bryant happened on defense.
And Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, I mean,
he got thrown.
How much of the game plan do you really think, you know, on the Lions' part, you know, Jeremy, how you're saying, how much of it do you think the Lions kind of just conceded the fact that we don't want to get into a time of possession war with arguably the best running team in the NFL?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think I think that strategy might have worked better for them. I mean, in general, they did hold Ezekiel Elliott in check. I mean, obviously there was a 55-yard gain, but you take his other 11 carries and he had 25 yards. And I think in general, the Lions may have better suited to kind of force the Cowboys to do that. The only problem is that they couldn't stop the Cowboys over the top. They didn't have anyone stopping Dak Prescott from throwing downfield and completing. I think it was something like crazy, like 5 out of 6 of his passes, or I think it was actually 6 out of 7 of his passes that were 15 yards or more downfield were completed, and 3 of his touchdowns were completed that way. Stafford was 0 for 7 in the same type of passes. So that kind of defense only works if you can't give up the big plays, if you don't give up the big plays, and the Lions absolutely did give up the big plays.
Because they don't have anyone to stop the big plays. They don't.
They have one guy, and it's his nickname.
And he wasn't playing.
And he was not playing. Big play Slay.
Well, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. They didn't have him.
Big non-play Slay.
Big don't
big not
play
on the
Slay.
Field play.
Jeremy tweeted out that Jonathan Banks tweet where he was like, "Let's eat Slay." And then I think I saw somebody on Twitter that said maybe that was like literal. Maybe he wanted to like go out to eat with Darius Slay during the game.
Get some brisket.
Like, where do you want to eat in Dallas?
He did make the trip, which I thought was interesting. Darius Slay did. I don't know if that says to how close he is to returning, or if that's just a sign of how valuable he is on the sidelines.
Yeah, what's the words we always use? Check the report. We won't know, really. Like, I know Dave Burkett said he's probably out for the rest of the regular season, but I mean, I'm kind of hoping he plays against the Packers, because, oh, God. Oh, God, man. Unless we have, like, Nevin Lawson from last year's Lambeau game,
If he has any chance of playing, he has to, because it's kind of do or die, sure. Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, they'll know by game time whether it literally is do or die. I wonder if... That's kind of an interesting thought, whether that would play into their inactives or not. I'm trying to think about the timeline. The game's at 8:30, inactives go up at 7. I don't think the Washington game will be quite over yet, because that game starts at 4:30, so...
Right, but if they could get a read on it...
Yeah.
If it seems like it's a Giants win, I mean, that'd be interesting to think about whether or not that would factor into their decision of who they're going to keep inactive.
Sure. We're going to talk a little bit more about these playoff scenarios in the next segment, but just final thoughts from the game, Of course, just, again, what we expected happened. Just the way we got here was interesting. And there was nothing more interesting to me than a play that unfortunately got 15 yards called on him.
And Chris Lemieux's love interest.
My very large adult son, Ashawn Robinson, who, I mean, I want to talk about him because I think, as you pointed out in the snap counts, he is getting starter-type minutes.
Yeah, and I think he literally was a starter in that game, too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's exciting to see him take on a bigger role because I think he's earned it, and I think he's starting to show that he can make an impact in the running game. A lot of people are kind of dogging his pass rush abilities, but that's really not the type of player that you have in Ashawn Robinson. That's not who you're going to get.
What he should be able to do is open up Ezekiel Ansah, and hopefully Ansah can produce more, and then he can just jump up and swat balls out of the air, pretty much.
Ansah had a sack last night, too, so...
Yep.
Yeah.
Two straight games.
Ashawn is getting the job done.
Yeah, Robinson, I'm not expecting numbers from him. I just expect him to eat up space and body slam Ezekiel Elliott, who was very
Fuck
mad
Ezekiel
about that.
Ezekiel Elliott, by the way.
Yeah, I think you said, Alex, like he's already having his heel turned.
I kind of liked him a little bit up until last night. Now I hate him. I mean, I was talking to my Eagles friend, and he was telling me that he showed up to the Eagles facility with a strip club t-shirt on his pre-draft visit and got kicked out of the office, apparently. Like, he's just kind of a douchebag.
I mean, like, again, like, that was a football play, and... Yeah, he was just... And then he made it... He tried to make it, like, personal. It was like, well, Ashawn was just feeling bad because we beat him when I was at Ohio State.
Yeah, like, he called the play dirty, and it was clearly not dirty. Just... shut up.
Why is it that, like, well, I mean, we wouldn't have America's team back front and center stage without a bunch of douchebags leading the way. Like, the only ones I really like on that team are, like, Dak, because I haven't seen anything bad about Dak yet, and, like, J.J. Wilcox, who is, like, a Georgia Southern guy. So,
like, Dak's a cool guy, but apparently he's best friends with Ezekiel Elliott, so he might be bad in my book now.
I don't know. Well, he hasn't done anything to piss me off. Dez, fuck himself. Zeke, go fuck yourself.
Dez, okay. I'll always remember him taking his helmet off, and I just can't forgive that.
Yeah.
We almost went the full segment without bringing up that game.
You know, I think the one last thing I want to say about a takeaway from the Dallas game are don't get too caught up in some egregious calls that were made. You know, going back and watching the game, I mean, the Lions didn't lose because of the officials. They lost because they got 28 unanswered points put on them, you know, after they were up 21-14. So that was the reason they lost. It wasn't because of, you know, arguably an offsetting, you know, pass interference penalty on the Dez Bryant touchdown where he grabbed the face mask, you know, the A'shaun Robinson suplex. You know, those things are minuscule and... You know, those aren't the reasons the Lions lost.
The personal foul call was bad, but, like, I'm sure Bovada King 69 would still put money on them scoring a touchdown on that drive if it didn't happen anyway.
No. Who's that?
All right. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking playoffs, which I really should drop the Jim Mora in here.
Playoffs?
Because it's getting to that point. It's really getting to Jim Mora levels of, oh, God. But we're going to talk about it when we come back. Back here again on the Pride of Detroit PODcast podcast. Playoff picture time, gentlemen. Pop quiz hot shots.
Hit me with anything. I've been studying scenarios for the past 2 weeks. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Let me start with this. I don't want to start with a scenario because I think your flowchart adequately expresses everything, Jeremy. Let me start with a subjective question. And it's one I've been asked a couple times lately. How would you feel about this team in multiple facets if the Lions backed into the wild card thanks to the Giants? Like, they lose the Packers game and the Giants win. And then we're just... The Lions are scot-free to the playoffs. But, I mean, one could potentially argue that backing in after a three-game losing streak is basically like you shouldn't be in the playoffs. This invalidated your work for the season. Like, that the negative person would say that. Like, I've heard that opinion a couple times. Is like that the idea if you're backing into the playoffs off of a Giants win, like, did you really make the playoffs? That kind of bull. So, I mean, I guess, like, let's say that that's our scenario. You get into the playoffs because of the Giants. Do you feel good about it?
I'm fine. I'm sorry. I don't believe in the you don't deserve to be there, because guess what? Six teams make it. Who does deserve to be there? If no one else makes it in, you deserve to be there. Your top six team, deal with it. Obviously, it's not in the ideal situation, but I just want this team to get into the playoffs because I honestly believe that anything can happen in the playoffs. And sure, that might mean a trip to Seattle, which is, you know, a task that doesn't look very positive. But hey, last year the Lions went into Seattle as a winless team and nearly pulled out a win.
Oh my God.
Probably should have pulled out a win.
Well, so Seattle looks vulnerable too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's not a team in the NFC that doesn't look at least a little vulnerable, that doesn't have at least one side of the ball that they're a little iffy on. So
Cowboys.
Cowboys, they're not a good defensive team. I'm sorry, they aren't. So I think that the Lions can match up with any team in the NFC, and if it comes to, you know, the Giants doing them a favor and getting them in that sixth seed, I'll welcome it. I don't care. I want more football.
Ryan, how would you feel? Like, again, we're talking just backing into the playoffs. I think we're going to talk a little bit about what a division crown would mean later, but just how would you feel about it?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. And you know, I agree with a lot of what Jeremy had to say. And I think that the only reason that anybody would have any problems or any qualms with not making or, you know, backing into the playoffs are the people who don't want to see Jim Caldwell as the head coach. And I think that's still kind of up in the air for me. I think I kind of lean with, you know, seeing him return next year. But I think the people who don't want to see the Lions back in, they don't want to see the Lions back in because they don't want Caldwell back. And that doesn't have any bearing on this season. Like, that shows how little trust I think that you have in Bob Quinn. Like, if you trust in Bob Quinn to make the best decision at the end of the season on who his head coach will be next year, then you should leave that up to him. And, you know, I'm totally fine with this team backing in, because at the end of the day, you want to start fostering a culture in where you expect to make the playoffs each year. Whether you back in or not, like Jeremy said, there's six teams in the NFC that make the playoffs. If you're one of those six teams and you can start building that culture where it's, look, we expect to be here each year. We might have got here in an unconventional way in 2016, but going forward, it's a building block, you know?
What you just brought up is kind of interesting. It's almost like an inverse of the do you want this team to go 0-16 debate. Like, if they go 0-16, then, oh, yeah, they had to fire Matt Mellon. But if, you know, but then there's, you know, in my mind, the same group is like, why would you want that mark on this franchise? Why would you want this franchise to have that kind of culture around it if you know, if the Fords know what they're doing, 1-15 isn't going to be that much different than 0-16, and he'll make the right guard. So it's kind of similar in that sense, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. Playoffs is playoffs, but, I mean, the goal ultimately isn't just to make the playoffs, and I just don't see this team backing into the playoffs and then winning in the first round. Unless, is there still a way that we can match up against the Redskins if we lose?
No. Redskins are out of the playoffs.
Because that's like the only team I can see this team beating. I mean, I think if we back in, I'm not really confident that we can match up well, like Jeremy said, with any NFC team. I don't see us playing the Cowboys and winning. I don't see us playing the Packers after we just lost to them twice and winning. I think the ultimate goal is to win a playoff game, and I just don't really see that happening if we lose.
But, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of there. I mean, I don't mind backing in. I would say, though, and I think I'm with Alex, I don't see us, like, winning any of these games, except maybe Seattle, because I think Seattle is unbelievably shaky, but they're also 7-1 at home on the season.
Yeah, so like, the original question... Sorry.
Go ahead. No, you take a 3-month hiatus and then you want to start just, you know, popping in whenever you want. Well, you got to learn about the flow of a show,
Alex. I just wanted to finish off my point by saying I would be disappointed, though, because I want the division.
Well, and I think everyone here would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I guess for me, like, on one hand, I've seen teams who back in win go far, and even in the case the Giants win the Super Bowl, and no one will begrudge you if you're the Giants going in 9-7 or whatever the hell they were those years,
mm-hmm.
and winning a Super Bowl. No one begrudges that. The Lions aren't that team, though. They just don't have that defense to really win in January.
I want to say those were different seasons too, though, because the Giants finished hot. Whereas the Lions would be, you know, limping in, you know, finishing their season 1-3. I totally agree with you and Alex, though. I think that, yeah, the goal is to win a playoff game. That's the goal that the short-term goal that the Lions have. Do I see that happening if they, you know, back into the playoffs and they have to go play on the road somewhere? No, I don't think it'll happen. But I would rather see them at least get a chance than to not play any more football. Like, I don't want this season to end. It's been a lot of fun.
But no, I don't. Also, I feel like winning a single playoff game seems like an arbitrary goal to me. Like, why is that the end all? I know that they they've only done it once in their
It's the same as the division. It's just a ghost to be chased, I imagine.
So we can hang another banner up. Won a playoff game 2016.
Well, if that is the ultimate goal, if the Lions are in there, why wouldn't you be happy? They get a shot at it.
No, I will be happy. I agree. I think we all kind of agree with each other. We're just saying it differently.
I mostly brought it up because, again, I got asked this question, and I just kind of, I've been stewing on this because, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. I just want more football out of this, and I want more of the season to go, and I'm more mad than anything that the unpredictability of these final games has prevented me from doing my super secret special project I wanted to do this year, but, yeah, like, I don't know. Like,
To me, the most frustrating part about the Lions backing into the playoffs has nothing to do with the Lions and has everything to do with the Packers. I do not want them to win the division. I will be mad if they win the division.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm there.
Yeah, I'd be more mad about that. I want the division more than anything. I guess the question is, would you have division or bust, I imagine? Like, take wild card out of it.
I think that's likely to be the scenario,
I'm sorry, let me try rephrasing that. So I guess the question then becomes, like, I know people are bringing up Caldwell a lot, too. I think, Ryan, you have it right, though, is just that I don't think no matter what happens with the record, that's going to impact the decision about Caldwell.
It isn't. I don't think it is. I think Bob Quinn has a plan, and, trust in the plan. So far, I mean, things seem like they're trending in the right direction, right? Like, I'm going to ask all of you guys right now, did any of you guys at the beginning of the season foresee a scenario in which the Lions would be able to play for the division in the final week of the season?
Nope. And I think most of that has to do with Minnesota.
They started 5-0.
Yeah, they did.
I did not expect Minnesota to be this bad at the end of the year.
You didn't? Even with Sam Bradford as their quarterback?
I mean, their defense isn't really as good as advertised anymore.
No, a lot of players fell off. Anthony Barr isn't the player that he was last year by any means.
Right. Yeah. And like, man, I'm processing the last few Packers games. I'm heated because I just look at the offenses they've played. I'm like, there's been some shit offenses they've played. So I've been heated about that too when everyone's weaving this miracle about, you know, Aaron Rodgers returning, and yet all I see is like, okay, so on the other side the Packers defense played Carson Wentz, Brock Osweiler, a really gimpy fucking looking Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Matt Barkley, who might have been the best quarterback they faced. And then Sam Bradford. Geez, and
come on, Chris.
I'll let you
I'm
get
serious.
Away with it, I guess.
Your undying hatred for Russell Wilson is very,
actually,
very...
Actually, no, I actually originally had Russell Wilson as, like, of the elite quarterbacks before this season. I'm just saying, like,
right up there with Andy Dalton, right?
I'll take a gimpy Russell Wilson over Matt Barkley.
Dude, but, like, how many interceptions did he have in that Seahawks game?
He threw five.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about playoff scenarios, I want to get into one kind of interesting option, and that's the tie. Because if the Packers and the Lions tie, both teams get in. The Packers are going to win the division because they'll have the head-to-head tiebreaker. There are a couple things I want to talk about. One is the idea that the coaches collude, and I think someone out there on Twitter put it that they should collude and just take knees for 60 straight minutes, because that would make amazing Sunday night football television.
Could you imagine Bob Costas and Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth? Could you imagine Tony Dungy in the studio trying to process 90 minutes of kneeling?
I think there actually is something in the rule book not specifically about this, but that would probably lead to some severe punishment from them. But what my real question here is, though, let's have a mock scenario here. The Lions and Packers are tied in overtime. There's, let's say, about 90 seconds left. Lions are facing a fourth and, let's say, four at midfield, 50-yard line. What do you do?
Renig and bring out Matt Prater?
I mean, I guess the problem is like, I know you're trying to angle for a punt, like a question of go for it or punt.
Yeah.
Problem with the punt scenario is I saw what Aaron Rodgers did to the Bears when it looked like they were going to settle for overtime, putting that ball over the top to find. So I don't trust the punt is what I'm saying.
I think like a better scenario would be like, what if you have third and long would you want to run the clock out and just run the ball, or would you want to go for it and go for the win?
Yeah, are you going to throw it, or are you going to make a draw play? Yeah.
Those are all interesting questions, and I know there was some heat coming from Twitter when I kind of put out a question like this. People were like, you play to win the game, and there's some, like, weird sort of manliness behind that, but, like, you have to think smart, too, because...
Well, I don't think... we're just, as North American sports fans, we just don't like the idea of tying. We don't.
Right. But... just... I'll take backing in with a tie.
Sure. When I threw out the scenario in which, you know, the Lions trot out Matt Prater and try, like, a 68-yard field goal, that would include NBC giving us at least a camera angle in which I could tell whether or not the field goal was made or missed.
God, man.
Wait for it. I've got a whole bunch on that later.
Man, what a shit show of a broadcast, huh? And yet somehow that was like the best Monday Night Football ratings they've had in like several years. So I don't think this team's just going far in the playoffs. I just don't.
It certainly seems unlikely at this point. I don't think anyone would argue with
that. Seems unlikely, but I'd like to see him there.
I'd like to see them there too. I guess the question is, are you ready to get crushed again? Like, have another batted ball scenario in Seattle? Are you ready for that? Are you, like, physically ready for that?
Yes. If the game came down to a play like that, yes. And the Lions lost in a manner in that way, sure. I'll get crushed like that again. That's fine. I know what that feels like. I'm pretty numb to those situations now.
And let's be honest. I mean, no one likes to think about, like, the Dallas game or the Seattle game, but that's the fun in this sport. That's why we all watch, is the thrilling moments like that and hope that it eventually goes our way. And I love it, even though I hate it, because I hate the offseason with all of my might, and I don't want to see it here.
Oh, shut up. What is that Sorkin speech like that? We watch it for these moments. What kind of Aaron Sorkin bullshit is that? I am watching it get fucked. Come on.
You don't think that Seattle game was thrilling, or that Dallas game was thrilling and fun?
I screamed at people after that Dallas game.
Chris, were you a Lions fan by then?
Well, since you asked, we did a Secret Santa this year, and,
Oh, Ryan's gonna get real mad.
We did not do a Secret Santa.
We did a Secret Stafford.
Secret Stafford, okay.
You motherfucker, you opened your gift.
And what was the message you gave to me?
I made you a... You know what? Why don't you explain the gift that you got?
Well, why don't
who says I got it for you?
All right, yeah, exactly. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we will unbox this gift together. Ryan's mad because he's in Arizona with a flaming ear infection, and he didn't open his before he left.
Nope, because there's rules.
Says who?
Because some of us didn't even get their gifts yet.
Okay, let's take this break, and when we come back, I'm going to explain myself.
He opened gifts on Christmas. Come on.
Who invited this kid back to the podcast?
Section number three here on Pride of Detroit podcast. We have a gift here. We did Secret Stafford this year. We've kind of had violations already because none of us are good with rules.
Everyone already knows who got them their gift. Some of their gifts didn't arrive on time.
Alex already got mine, and it comes from actually one of our older hidden tracks we did about Alex's inability to put mustard on a hot dog.
It was not an easy task, guys.
So I got him a hot dog clock for his new, very swanky-looking house.
Hillary Swank.
Hillary
Swank-looking house.
What happened to Hillary Swank?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's going right up in Jeremy's room when he moves back to Michigan.
Yep. That's an inside joke that I don't think the podcast knows about, but when I move back to Michigan eventually,
it's not a joke. It's actually
I'm living
serious,
with Alex Reno. No, it's happening. It was promised to me.
There's going to be very foul things happening in that house that I don't want to think about.
What?
So. Anyway.
Chris, no, let's back up. Let's not back up. Let's go
let's
on.
Let's not back up. Let's move on. So Ryan sends me this, by the way, which I'm pretty sure he has stamped with some of his stuff from his teacher job, because there is a star stamp on here, an A within a circle, not the anarchist symbol, but like an A as in like a grade.
What?
You stamped a bunch of this stuff on this pack slip.
I did none of that stuff. I sent it directly to your place.
There is a smiley face. You can't see it on the screen, but there's a smiley face in highlighter ink here, too.
Somebody was fucking with your present, apparently. I
had nothing to do with that.
So, the order comments, keep the Chris in Christmas. Use this drink from every Sunday and for every podcast from here until the end of time. So, unfortunately, because I haven't been able to open it until now, I have not had a chance to use this. So that's okay. Why I wanted to bring it up.
Well, you should open it.
Okay, fine. I will open it right here. It's a right goddamn the Festivus miracle.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Oh, I just noticed the asterisk on this. So I got a hip flask, black with in gold lettering, number one Lions fan, asterisk.
That's so beautiful. So,
you are going to need that on Sunday, my friend.
I'm going to need this at work.
That's a great place to take it, for sure.
I mean, yeah, no one sees me do most of my work anyway, so no, thank you. This is very thoughtful.
You're
how
welcome.
How did you not go above the money limit we set?
It was just slightly over with shipping.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shipping doesn't count. Okay, real quick question for the
shipping
pods.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, mailbag question early. Does shipping count if you have a $20 gift? Shipping handling count in that price if you have a $20 spending limit?
I don't think it does.
That's fine.
But we have to give credit where credit's due. Jeremy Reisman gave me the idea for this gift.
Oh, did he?
I was going to keep it a secret.
No, we'll give credit where credit's due. See, the thing was, Chris, is I was going to get you a Moscow Mule mug with that engraved on it, but those things are way more expensive than flasks, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, I also have two of them already, so.
Yeah. All right, well, this one's portable.
No, this is perfect. And I need a hip flask for my hobo credentials.
Consistently remind you that you are, quote-unquote, the number one Lions fan.
Lions.
Hopefully, hopefully next week Ryan and I will have some presents to open too. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Sure.
Kyle Yost.
Kyle Yost.
Kyle. Damn. Get him back on here to explain himself.
Kyle, fruit salad.
Hey, Kyle's
Yost.
A busy man. Let's give him some slack here.
Busy eating fruit salad. All right. What else do we need to say about Green Bay? I'm terrified of this game, but I actually feel good about this because I look at the offenses that Green Bay has beat up on, I mean, has been able to go, has had go against them. And again, I pointed this out, Carson Wentz, Brock Osweiler, Russell Wilson with 5 interceptions, Matt Barkley, and was Sam Bradford in that game? Yeah, it was Sam Bradford, and then was he replaced? I forget. Was he the one who was hurt?
No, I think he finished that game.
He finished, yeah. Yeah, he did, so. But still, those are the offenses they face, and I think at this point there was nothing ever really wrong with Aaron Rodgers. It's just that their defense wasn't being just choked to death.
I'm just worried they're going to throw up 50 points on us. I mean, even when their offense was at their worst, they still threw up like 30 plus points on us at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
and our defense, I mean, after that Dallas game, unless Darius Slay is playing, it's just going to be pretty ugly.
Well, I mean, again, even those games they lost, it's not like their offense was bad. They had 32 points in that Falcons game. They had 26 against the Colts, 25 against the Titans, 24 against Washington. Like, and then before that, 26 in a win over the Bears. It's not like they weren't scoring. It's just that they couldn't keep pace on defense.
Well, pace is a very interesting word because I think that I don't see the Packers scoring over 30 points against the Lions this week. I really don't, because I think the Lions are going to go back to that game plan where it's going to be all about time of possession. It's going to be all about controlling the football and keeping it out of the Packers offense's hands. Like, that's just what it's going to come down to. I think that the Lions tried to whether or not it was a strategic thing by, you know, limiting the ability for Dallas's substitute players on defense, whatever it was, it worked for a half. The Lions were up 21-14 by, you know, involving some no huddle stuff. But I think this week against the Packers, it's going to be all about holding on to the football and dictating the pace of play.
And can we remember two more things? Number one, in the Lambeau game earlier in the year when the Lions were arguably at some of their worst play, they still threatened to come back in that game. They still put up a lot of points. Like, they put up, what was it, 17? So the second half, the Lions outscored the Packers 17-3. So there's
and
that.
And that's the thing about this Packers defense is that it's not very good. I keep rallying against this point, but all you have to do is look back to that Bears game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
man.
They had like a 20-point lead and blew the entire thing in the fourth quarter. So I wouldn't put this game out of reach for the Lions. I think they can keep pace with most of it, but I just don't know if they can stick to that game plan that Ryan's talking about, because I do think that if there's a team that can exploit this team for big plays other than Dallas, it's Green Bay. And sure, Jordy Nelson is going to, I feel like he's going to go off on the Lions, and you know Aaron Rodgers is good for at least one 30-yard pass interference in this game. Let's be honest. Nevin Lawson is going to get called for a 30-yard pass interference game. I would put money on that.
You've been watching too many Madden Sims.
I would also say the other big thing for the Lions here is the fact they're going home. Again, only one loss at home the whole season.
That's a fair point. Well. And the thing that scares me, though, is this fan base is so down right now that at the smallest sign of adversity in this game, the fans are going to turn on them. And I hope I'm entirely wrong about this.
Hold on.
If the Lions don't come out strong, I think that home field advantage is gone.
I don't think so. I don't think so, because I know we got a blowback of people on Twitter, but I think those are people who are Lions fans, mostly on Twitter. Like, there was a strong showing of people in Dallas. You don't see that normally. And you're talking here, and like, outside of, again, the usual suspects who are filling our mentions with just anger and rage, there are a lot of people across Detroit sports Twitter and sports social media who are, like, really charged up. It's like, all right, that's it. This is it for the division. They're treating this like a big-time rivalry game. So I don't see them disappearing that quickly.
I think I tend to agree more with Jeremy, just because I think that after two consecutive losses against teams that are clearly better than the Lions, I think all of us can agree that the Giants are a better football team than the Lions, the Cowboys are a better football team than the Lions. If the Packers come out and score on their first drive and it's 7-0, I think Ford Field gets either quiet, and then if the line, can you imagine if the Packers put up 7 and the Lions come out and go 3 and out? The Boo Birds will be out in full force. A whole flock of them.
Yeah, Lions fans, yeah, they're going to get hyped up for these big games, but once, yeah, the first sign of it turning against them, they're just going to turn into those same old Lions fans.
Are you kidding me? It's an 8:30 game. Do you know how long they have to drink on Sunday? And it's New Year's. Come on.
And, yeah, I mean, and Detroit fans in general have always traveled well, too. I mean, they can still be cynical and travel well. I don't think that really has to do much with it, too.
Let's do Rage Corner real quick. Rage time, just kind of anger, id, yelling. We do a lot of it already, but Alex has to go here in a couple minutes, so he's going to rage real quick.
Yeah, this is probably like a 30-second rage about how much I hate the decision where Jim Caldwell kept Stafford in the game. Under 2 minutes left, down by 21. I mean, literally, the very next week, season could be on the line. The offensive line in that second half was terrible. Like, he literally could have gotten killed out there, and you're still keeping him out there. I think there was a legitimate chance that he could have got hurt, and he's already not 100%. So that
I think
was,
I saw him come up limping after one.
Yeah, it was just completely stupid, and he backed it up in his own press conference too. And I just, Carlos Monterez agrees with me, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But
it's usually never a good thing.
Him. Oh God.
that to me, some people don't think that it's a big deal, but all that needs to happen is one play where the quarterback gets hurt. Or Stafford gets hurt even more than he already is, and the entire season is over with a game to play where you can win the division. I thought it was stupid.
Two words, Derek Carr.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I kind of sympathize a little bit because taking him out kind of signals that you're giving up on a game, and
you
that's
already
like the worst.
Did, though.
I know, but I'm saying, like, that's the worst thing you can do to a team, I guess. This is the weird thing, but the thing is, like, it wouldn't have just been Caldwell doing this, right? Like,
I'm sure Stafford is lobbying to go back out there because he's just the type of player that doesn't want to get.
But I mean, Bill Belichick's not usually pulling out Tom Brady in that position either.
I guess, but you have to be that coach that just goes up to him and fucking bear hugs him or something and just, like, will not let him go onto that field because you need him.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm fine with that. All right, thanks, Alex. We'll see you next time when you're not being weird or stupid.
So, Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Alex is going rogue on the podcast.
Shit. Okay, without Reno, this means this podcast is infinitely better. Let's continue on to our second rage.
Is that me?
Yeah, baby.
All right, ESPN. Monday Night Football used to be an institution. It used to be the peak of the football week. Screw Sundays. Screw whatever Thursday Night Football is supposed to be. Monday Night Football was supposed to be the primetime, the must-see TV. And its production level has gone down so much with ESPN, it's embarrassing. Let's not even get to Jon Gruden, because I could go 3 hours on Jon Gruden and his inane commentary and goofiness. Let's talk about the graphics, first of all. They got this junk car breaking into pieces to show you how bad the Lions run offense is. Like, is this production for 3-year-olds? I don't understand. Why
are they doing a lot of those?
They have, and it's so goofy and stupid, and it just feels patronizing, like we're idiots watching the game. Can't you just tell us what we're watching instead of showing us this clunky, you know, 3D image that deserves to be on a, like, I don't know, a cartoon in 1997 that looks cutting edge? It's so stupid and condescending and idiotic, and I really think dumbs down what sports are.
Before we move on to your next complaint, I will say, like, do you remember the original 3D graphics for Monday Night Football with, like, the F-16s and the lasers and everything? Those were better 3D graphics than what they're showing on Monday Night Football now.
I don't know who they're trying to fool or who they're trying to entertain, but my next complaint, and I think
exploding
everyone,
helmets.
Yeah, yes, I'll take exploding helmets over whatever the hell we saw yesterday. But my second complaint, and I think everyone can agree with me here, is the production value of the game, the camera angles, the stats overlay, the commentary about the game that's actually going on is embarrassingly bad. The field goal, whatever happened with that Matt Prater field goal, where they're showing some sort of end zone view that I've never seen before and I don't want to ever see again. No idea if the kick goes in. We barely get a replay. We certainly don't get a replay of the normal view that we all are accustomed to seeing that has been perfectly fine for the past 25 years. Instead, we just kind of have to take their word for it. What really made me mad is that I started to have to get information about what was happening in the game from Twitter. there was a point in the fourth quarter where play just stopped. And instead of just telling us what the hell happened, ESPN cut to a montage of Dak Prescott videos. And I had to go to Twitter to find out that the Lions had the wrong formation out there, had to burn a timeout, which was a big deal at that point in the game because the Lions needed as much time as they could to mount the comeback. Then there's the fact that they never cut to that normal, you know, sideline view of the play right before it starts to develop. They cut to it at the very last moment, so I don't know what formation anyone's in. I don't know who's on the field. I barely know what down and distance it is because that's not on the screen. And it's just embarrassing that Sunday Night Football continues to outclass everyone. Fox, CBS, especially ESPN and NFL Network. Come on, you are the league's network. Get your shit together. ESPN, you are supposed to be the worldwide leader in sports. It's embarrassing. Why can't your college football broadcasts are fine? Why can't you do the same with Monday Night Football? You try to make this thing bigger than it is, more complicated than it needs to be. Just run a football game. Just run a football game. I don't get it.
Can I say too, like, who was it? Who's the new play-by-play guy? I forget his name.
Sean McDonough.
Sean McDonough, I should have remembered his name, but I remember there was one point in the game where he was the one saying that the A'shaun Robinson penalty was a bad call.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not, like, it's like, okay, I appreciate that from the play-by-play guy, because, like, wow, okay, even the play-by-play guy has an opinion, but, like, you know, that's just kind of just highlighting how useless Gruden has become. Mike Tirico really was the control rod on the unstable reactor that is Gruden. Wasn't he?
Sure. I mean, Tirico is great. I think we can all agree, and I'm glad that he's on the NBC broadcast team because that just makes a strong team even stronger.
He's going to body Al Michaels and take his position before long.
It's probably true. I have no problem with Sean McDonough. He's a fine play. He's vanilla, and that's kind of what I want out of my play-by-play guy anyways. But when Gruden's doing your color commentary, like, I don't know what you're doing with your team. He dumbs down everything, and maybe that's their efforts is to make it more, you know, consumable more accessible, more consumable for a larger audience. But it really feels stupid.
It feels like they're trying to have a John Madden in there. And, like, I don't know. He's a little weird.
Just coach
actually likes John Madden. No one actually liked John Madden's color commentary. I'm sorry.
I think that's a hotter take than our Christmas story take.
John Madden was insane.
I don't disagree, but he seemed more lovable to me than John Gruden. John Gruden just seems like a psychopath that tries too hard.
I mean, I think I'm with you, Jeremy. It's just like, this is just kind of like, I know ESPN is like getting hit really hard from every angle, but it's like, I mean, man, I don't get why the college football, their college sports broadcasting is just so much better than nearly everything else they do. Yeah, like, why can't it be like college football?
They do such a good job with college football. Like, they even offer those, like, all 22 views on Watch ESPN where you can just watch the all 22s mm-hmm. with no commentary. Like, keep it simple, keep it basic, and people will appreciate that. And
if you're not one to watch the college football playoffs, watch it this year and just see how good of a job ESPN does with all their streaming options and everything else. It'll blow you away. And we don't get that on Monday Night Football. For some reason, they just can't bring their best and brightest like NBC can to Sunday night. Ryan?
I agree.
No, Ryan.
You missed your cue.
What? Oh, Sunday night.
Mailbag coming up next. Alright, mailbag time. Your questions, as always, to AskPOD or hashtag AskPOD on Twitter. We have a little bit to get through here. I'm not going to take everything because we are a little pressed for time, but we're going to go to some of our favorites. But first, let's go to Wade Ledge or Waddle Edge. I don't know where it begins or ends. He says, I don't have any questions. All I really want is someone to hold me and tell me that everything is going to be all right.
Well, hopefully you didn't listen to the first 45 minutes of this podcast.
Yeah.
But everything's going to be all right, man. To actually answer this question seriously, if it doesn't work out this year, I do think this team is headed in the right direction.
Well, it's going in the right place. I agree. This team just kind of, it got here too quickly, I think.
It wasn't ready. It wasn't ready to be 9-4.
Next question from Jim Richels. Kind of dealing with what we were talking about a little earlier here, Jeremy. Who is the most adequate NFL pregame host?
Oof. Pregame is a whole different story.
He says, like, he brings up Mike Tirico for NBC, but Mike Tirico isn't their pregame. That's,
for Sunday night?
Costas.
Bob Costas.
No, it's not. No, what's the guy in the studio? Dan.
Oh, you're talking about Dan Patrick and
Dan
Patrick. Tony Dungy
NFL pregame. That's their pregame, I thought.
Yeah, well, Sunday Night in America, that's their show. Like I was saying in the last segment, NBC does everything right, so if you're talking about a pregame show that's acceptable, that's one, but they also have the benefit of being able to show highlights and recap games rather than preview games, which is always a little more entertaining.
You would take him over Rich Eisen? I think Rich Eisen's very good.
I like Rich Eisen more than I like Dan Patrick.
It's close. It's 1A, 1B, and I know they're actually good friends, too. So.
Well, hold up. We've got a wild card factor in here I don't think you've considered, Jeremy.
What's that?
Where did Rich Eisen go to school?
That's what I was going
to
say.
Who did he root for on Saturday?
Hey, listen. I don't beat the drum for Michigan at all times. You know, I'm willing to look past that.
For sure.
I'm not a big Adam Schefter guy either, so.
You're a much bigger fan of Ian Rappaport.
Oh, yes. He's my dude.
I don't even know who's on the seat. Like, we're just excluding CBS and Fox completely from this conversation, right?
I don't watch. James Brown isn't bad.
That's the thing. Usually the guy that heads the group is okay. So, like, Trey Wingo at ESPN is really good. Mm-hmm. Like you said, James Brown is good. I don't even know who the leading guy in Fox is at this point. I stopped watching Fox completely.
Well, hold on. ESPN is good when it's Trey Wingo. When it's Chris Berman, it's a...
Holy God, no.
Right.
It's a tire fire, right? But,
yeah.
I'm trying to think, who is the Fox guy?
Kurt Menefee. It's Kurt Menefee.
Kurt Menefee.
Yep. Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know this?
I guess I didn't, but,
Yes.
But yeah, for some reason, like, the formula to make these morning crews is, like, one really smart guy who keeps it together, and then just, like, a bunch of weirdos who have dumb opinions that laugh at their own jokes, and then one comic relief that is never funny.
Well, notice how, like, all those people who are very dumb are also former football coaches that everyone seems to love, or, like, quarterbacks or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess my favorite question is, of those, like, group of talking heads. So we established the best host, but who's the worst of, like, the talking head sorts? Because the only one more than Terry Bradshaw.
That's another 1A, 1B situation.
I think congregate, like, I think I hate CBS is the worst because it also has Boomer. It's like Boomer Esiason is on there too, isn't he?
Yeah. Shannon Sharp, is he still on
CBS?
Shannon's with Fox. It's Michael Strahan that's on the Fox one.
Right, but I'm saying that Shannon Sharp moved to Fox so that he
he's with Skip Bayless, yeah.
Oh, right, that's right. you think that would have been pounded in my head by those incessant commercials, but...
Speaking of which, we missed this talk bitching about ESPN. The first take cut-ins now.
Oh, do you want to talk about that?
No, I don't. I just want to say F that.
You don't want to take that question? I like that question.
No, hell no. By the way, NFL Today, I looked up their full cast there. Bill Cowher is on that too, along with Boomer Esiason and Bart Scott.
I'm semi-okay with Bill Cowher, but... Nah.
Boomer Esiason is a bleeding shithole. I hate him. I'm trying to find a fun one here. I'm gonna go to Twitter for this next one. From our old pal Big Slick McDick, who has renamed himself to img4346.jpg with the tweet, "Take a look, y'all." Obviously in reference to the, one of the greatest tweets of all time on Twitter, which was Stephen A. Smith completely not understanding how to attach an image to a tweet. But he sends us this question. If Monday Night Football had Sunday Night Football level of production with the catch that you have to watch a 5-minute segment on First Take before each game, would you watch? So this is going to Jeremy.
Yeah, this was the question I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, is my answer. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot because I do not want to watch a second of First Take. But if I can get Chris Collinsworth instead of friggin' Chucky, give me it. Give me the dose of First Take. I don't care. I'll take it.
I was going to say, you have to add the caveat that not only do you have to watch it, but you're getting the Ludovico treatment. You're in the Clockwork Orange. Like, you are Alex. You are sitting there, and your eyelids are being peeled apart, and you have to watch.
Yeah, I just...
I would sit in the studio if it meant it, avoiding Gruden. I would sit in between whoever the two people are on that show anymore.
Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith?
Yes.
I know that because I'm a son of Wally.
Son of Wally.
You need to have more Wally stories soon.
I kind of want that to be your Twitter handle now.
Son of Wally.
Yes.
Son of Wally.
Yes, yes. All right, next question. Vince Valhaber, are the Lions currently the worst 9-7 team in the NFL?
Whoa, buddy. We're 9-6. Step back, Vincent. We're not 9-7 yet.
With that being said, are the worst 9-6 team in the NFL right now?
Well, there are only 6 teams that are 9-6. Three teams that are 9-6. The Lions, the Packers, and the Texans.
No.
Ooh, the Lions lost to the Texans, but you're going to say the Texans are worse.
Yeah, this is...
Yes.
The Seahawks are 9-5-1. Does that count?
No. They're 9-5-1.
All right.
I'm going to say yes, they are. I'm sorry, Tom. What? I don't even know the Tom Savage. Is that right?
Is that who their quarterback is now?
That is who their quarterback is. Hey, here's something interesting about the Texans and the Lions, though. The Texans are 7-1 at home and 2-5 on the road. The Lions are 6-1 at home and 3-5 on the road. So they're kind of like mirror images of the same team, except...
But couldn't be more different.
Matt from MattyIce824, do you think there is any way they put Asa Jackson out there again? There has to be some better option somewhere.
Name a man. What's a better option at this point?
Jerry Mallory.
Jerry. I was pumped at the opportunity to see Alex Carter, and I think the Lions sent a message to all of us that he's not going to be part of this team's plans at all, because Asa Jackson, again, didn't play well, and it wasn't enough to put Alex Carter out there for one single snap on defense, so... I think the Lions are kind of SOCB right now.
Out of cornerbacks? Nevada Dud at Vegas 107. What would you rather have going into the playoffs? Momentum or health?
Hey, Jeremy, does momentum exist in sports?
No! No, it doesn't. And it certainly doesn't exist in a game-to-game basis. This team is going to come into Sunday's game with as much motivation as the Packers. I don't care if the Packers are on a 5-game winning streak and the Lions are on a 2-game losing streak. In terms of mental health or whatever you want to call it going into this game, there is not an edge either way. So, yeah, give me a healthy roster. Are you kidding me?
I'm with you,
Hal. You're asking me whether I'd take the Lions having something that is, you know, definable and easily existable. You can see it with your eyes. Would I rather have Darius Slay and Theo Riddick or, you know, beating the Cowboys last week, make them feel better? Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Ming.
Anything, Ryan? You don't want to take that one, Ryan?
I don't want to touch that.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong about momentum. Everyone likes to tell me I'm wrong.
Hey, momentum only exists within a game.
Paolo DiCarlino asks, anyone find Caldwell's comments about the tie a bit strange, beginning to wonder if it's being discussed?
Look, that is such a tinfoil idea. It's insane. That's a tinfoil hat idea.
I'm going to step back and say we have a lot of tinfoil questions in here about, like, hey, when the refs screw us, what's the riot going to look like in Detroit? And, like, what do you think about this tie stuff? Or, you know, Caldwell, like, there's too much of this here.
I mean, but I understand it. Like, this team has been so enigmatic all year, and I think we're probably kind of finally seeing its true colors, and a lot of people don't want to believe it, you know?
I mean, we've got a lot of questions here about tinfoil, about Zach Zender, too, but just, yeah, I don't know. I think we're kind of getting way out there, but let's go to Joseph R. Sweeney, who usually has a big group for us, so... Who wins in a fight in their primes? Dick Clark or Ryan Seacrest?
Dick Clark.
What?
It's not even a matter of debate.
Dick Clark would chew and spit out Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest so soft. He's Charmin.
Seacrest out. Charmin soft.
Okay. Also, he's got, are college bowl games as big of a deal for you now than they were when you were a kid? I feel like they need to turn them into part of a bigger playoff system to make college football less like a Chilean change of power. I guess, okay, I watch a lot of college football. I have not been dialed in with this playoff and with the bowl season so far. I'm going to start trying to watch tonight. But I guess the big question is, there are some people who believe that having a playoff system has diluted the other bowls and that they're not important. I don't know if that's the case, because even back during the BCS or even before then, we still had a bunch of crappy bowls no one watched.
That is true. I think the argument, too, that exists is people becoming keen to the, well, if you're 5-7, why am I watching your bowl game?
Yeah, there's a lot more of that out there, too. And it just, again, there's just bowls. These bowls are all over the season now, too. Like,
yeah,
some of them are starting before Christmas, and there are some on Christmas. And it just, I think it's more a problem, not about the playoffs. It's just there's too many bowl games, man. There's just too many. And, I mean, I love some of these mid-major teams. I really do. But I'm not tuning in to watch Arkansas State play Central Florida. I'm not tuning in to watch New Mexico play Texas San Antonio.
And, like, isn't there something we said? I think it's interesting how...
There was a bowl game between Eastern Michigan and Old Dominion.
Eastern Michigan had a hell of a year.
They did have a hell of a year. Idaho and Colorado State. Ohio and Troy. I'm just saying, these Hawaii and Middle Tennessee State.
Hawaii got their first bowl game win in a minute.
It's great, but I'm just saying, like, unless you are, like, a hardcore into this, like, these are a lot of teams. You're like, are those real football teams?
Well, I think, like I was saying, the way that he framed the question by saying, do we care about bowl games as much now as we did when we were kids? Like, watching bowl games as a kid, that was something that I looked forward to, you know, leading up to Christmas break. Because once Christmas break started, I had as much free time as I wanted, so I could park myself in front of the television and not do jack squat and watch college football bowl games until my eyes bled. And I think it's just a matter of how much time you have as an adult. It kind of, your time is limited. So, like, yeah, like you're saying, Chris, like, you have to sell me on why I want to watch Middle Tennessee versus Hawaii. Like, you have to sell me why I want to watch Ohio versus Troy. Like, it's not just, like, I don't have expendable time anymore. I can't just sit in front of the TV and watch those bowl games. I don't have that luxury of time.
I've never been a fan of the bowl system at all. Maybe it's just because I've been conditioned by every other sport that every season is an all-or-nothing thing, so that a Rose Bowl win, even though it was, quote-unquote, the Rose Bowl back in the day, if you didn't win the national championship, I didn't care. So I don't really understand the bowl system in its existence even 20 years ago, and now it just makes even less sense to me. So I haven't watched a single bowl game. I couldn't tell you the score of any single bowl game. And I love football. I will watch a college football game any day of the week, but this just, like, there's no intrigue to me. Nothing at stake. Teams that I don't care about or know anything about.
All right, couple more questions here, because I know Ryan's pressed for time. So, Bay Area Lion, is it too defeatist to just put all of our hopes on the Giants, and then if they lose, blame them for us missing the playoffs?
I like that plan.
Yeah, fuck Eli Manning.
They fucked us over last week.
Yeah, fuck them. Fuck the Giants.
If they don't help us out...
Yeah, what is this bullshit?
We're definitely rooting against them in the playoffs if they don't help us out. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
But that being said, if the Giants lose and we win, then we're rooting for the Giants in the playoffs unless we're playing them, because they knocked the Packers out of the playoffs by losing.
You're making this way too complicated.
Anything that keeps the Packers out of the playoffs, I'm cool with.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to see the... hold on, hot take. I almost want to see the Packers miss the playoffs more than I want to see the Lions make the playoffs. And I'm super into the Lions making the playoffs. Like, well, that's how petty I am right now.
The good news is if one happens, the other is likely to happen.
All right, here. We've got a couple of questions again about Caldwell trending back towards the hot seat. Guys, I'm sorry to say, like, I think Bob Quinn's just kind of made up his mind on whatever is going to happen there. So, again, bitching about the refs, yelling about the refs, conspiracy about the refs. Digging through here.
Hold on. Speaking about the refs, Jason Whitlock tweeted out yesterday.
Please don't.
Four phases of football: offense, defense, special teams, and officiating. Winning the officiating phase might be the most important.
What a fucking idiot. Okay. Waybay 51, now that Cleveland went and won a game, is there a team or player that you would wish an 0-16 season on? I gotta say,
now
by
I
the
want
way,
it on Cleveland even more. Because yeah, that's like, some bullshit.
I mean, who would I wish it on? Besides the Packers and division rivals?
Bears.
I kind of like to see Eli Manning go 0-16.
I'm just imagining a season where every official NFL account for every team that played the Bears got to tweet out, "We own the Bears." 16 weeks of hashtag we own the Bears.
That'd be pretty good. I'd like to see the Broncos go 0-16.
What's that? What do you got against the Broncos?
John Elway. I think his face is stupid.
Did we say the Packers yet?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Just want to make sure that they were covered.
Okay.
But yeah, 2-0-16 seasons for them.
Yeah, fan brags.
Back to back.
Fan brags. Sunday night at Ford Field, 8 seconds left, touchdown needed to win, ball at the 1 yard line, 4th and goal. Pass or run?
I would ask Richard Sherman what we should do.
I'm always for running and goal line situations from the one. The Lions had that on Monday night, and I thought they should have just run it 4 times. Instead, that was Dwayne Washington's first carry. He actually, I think, had really good blocking on 1st and goal and didn't get in. And then the Lions kind of dicked around for 2nd and 3rd down, tried to throw the ball. Just run it in, baby. You got Zach Zenner. No one, the first guy ain't taking Zach Zenner down. Hey. I was surprised that they snuck it 4th down.
I would have just put the ball in Michael Burton's hands. Let the man earn his contract. Plays like 3 snaps a game.
Two again this game. He's not had more than 2 snaps in 4 weeks, I believe.
Corey Schlesinger is rolling around in his grave right now.
He's not even dead yet, but he's in the grave rolling around. He's so mad.
He got in a grave. He dug himself a grave and started rolling around in it.
I think if the game's on the line, I want the ball in the hands of
John Cena!
Who? Alright, you guys ready to go?
Here's one. Hot dog's a sandwich.
When are we doing that list cast, by the way?
I was going to beg you guys to do a list cast for me today,
What if we lose... I'm sorry, what were you saying, Alex?
I was saying I was going to beg you guys to do a list cast for me while I was going to be on tonight, but I forgot.
Nah, it's fine. We've got a lot to talk about. I don't think we can really fit a list cast in.
Were you just about to propose if we lose and miss the playoffs, we just do a full podcast about the sandwiches?
Yes.
Nothing about football?
No.
I agree. I don't think we should talk about football if we miss the playoffs.
If we miss the playoffs, that is cause to just not talk about Lions at all.
Change everything. Like, turn, like, the music from Bulls on Parade to, like, elevator music and introduce it as, like, some kind of like big sandwich list cast.
Come out, yeah, like everybody has different names. Same voices, different names.
The Detroit Eater podcast.